Let's open our Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 6, and so thankful to continue on in this masterpiece of grace in Ephesians, and thank the Lord how he has appointed this for us, brothers and sisters, and that he's given us the grace in ages past. What a choice grace has made in our lives, and it's something just to be thankful for, and to be a cup that is full and running over. Oh my, how wonderful it is. We'll get to it soon. But to truly be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Now, we're thankful as we move on that we know that we're filled with all the fullness of God, because that's his will. I'm believing that. How about you? Amen? Well, you can live a life of doubt. You can live a life with, well, I'm not. Well, I'm going to live a life, as Brother Hayden, thank God, I'm confident in his faithfulness. So if that's a provision he's made for me, I'm believing him, not just to do it, but that he's finished it, called me for it, chosen me, praise God, and he's promised that he will perform the good work that he's begun in us. And I want to have that assurance of faith. People can say, well, you're mighty confident in that. And I say, well, thank you for the grace of God that's with me. Because that's the only way that it can be. And it's not just some type of optimistic speaking or something of trying to just thrill yourself. You're thrilled in the Lord. You get thrilled in the love of God. You begin to be consumed, hallelujah, with the Holy Ghost just ministering to your heart how much Jesus loves you. We're on that precious, it is. It's not just the bridal train by the grace of God. It's the wife train. And we're going to our husband. We're so thankful. My bridegroom is waiting for me. And all the way along, that wonderful servant, the power of his might, takes the things of Christ and he shows them to me. He shows me how much my wonderful husband loves me. My bridegroom loves me. My Lord loves me. My King loves me. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful I'm loved like that. And that makes me want to go on. And then I thank God that I know, and you know this too, we're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And with the result, and what the result is of that, brothers and sisters, is right here as we begin in our next section in chapter 6 of Ephesians in verse 10. It says, finally. So with all of that absolute assurance that the Lord has given us all the way through this precious Ephesians. Remember, this is full purpose. He's put this in us. That we're fully purposed. Now here it is. This is what our calling is. Finally, my brethren. Isn't that beautiful how Paul is encouraging and exhorting? Joining us in to this oneness. As he said to the Philippian saints, you're partakers of my grace. Of my grace. We're in this together. Praise the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the day, and having done all, to stand, and I'll leave it at verse 14, stand. Praise God. Now, the Word and the Holy Ghost is everything. That's be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Lord is the Word. Amen. And we thank God that we know that the power of his might is the Holy Ghost. So this command, this is having done all, this is what we stand, praise God, strong in. We stand strong in the truth and in the Holy Ghost, because it is everything. I thank God that we know that it's spirit and truth. It's because of truth in love. And that love we know has to be and is the Holy Ghost who takes the love of Christ and he sheds that abroad in our hearts. And it says, and we are assured of, that we speak truth in love. That is our standing, our absolute fellowship, our life, our lifestyle, our living. speaking truth in love, we grow up into him in how many things? In all things. Isn't that glorious? So here's the encouragement, which is so consistent. And I love the consistency of the word of God. It never doubts itself. It doesn't question itself. It doesn't give you two, you know, different types of anything. It's always so one. And I thank God for that. You think of the inconsistencies of this life. You think about how you can never be assured of anything. Well, God intended, he intended that our rock is the rock. And we stand upon the rock that is higher than I. And it says here, be strong. Isn't that wonderful? And once again, I want you to notice this. Who's he saluting here? My brethren. My brethren. That's glorious. This oneness, this attachment, this bond. And again, as we've come all the way through Ephesians, we know that these are the mature ones, ones that know and possess the whole counsel of God and the love for all saints. You have to think this letter was written to those people. Now, we understand that this letter, praise God, is the word of God, and that is for us. But this was written to them at that time because those ones at that place could receive this. This was the letter, praise God, the high watermark that was for these saints. And I thank God that because they went after and loved the whole counsel of God, as Paul said to them back in Acts, to the Ephesian elders, he said, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Everything was about that. The word of his grace. We understand that that's that again, that truth and love. And as we go through this, we can understand and receive. This was to a company of saints that had love for one another. And that had a love, praise God, that was growing more and more for one another. And that again is who this chapter, this letter was for, was those that lived the truth in love, which, brothers and sisters, is the evidence of maturity. Truth in love is the evidence of readiness. Truth alone and knowing this bridal message is not alone in itself the evidence of being ready. It's truth in love. Because without love, I could understand and know all mysteries. But without love, what does the word of God say? It profits me nothing. So as we come together always, I thank the Lord. Yes, it's a Bible study. I get that. But what we're studying together, hallelujah, we're drawn here in love. And I thank God for that. We're studying the one who loves us. We're drawing nigh to him. Praise God. And in that full assurance of faith, believing in this great love wherewith we are loved. And it says here, be strong, praise God, in the word and the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to maybe make a little note on this. This word strong here is a very special word in the Greek. It's found only 8 times. And you see the word strong many times in the word of God. But this particular meaning of it in the Greek is only found 8 times. Right there should kind of catch your attention. That's the bridal number, which is number 8. And every time that it is found, it's found in Paul's epistles, except for one time. And that's in Acts, when Luke is talking about Paul, and he's telling that Paul is strong in the Holy Ghost. So this all, again, has to do with this precious encouragement of truth and love that was given to the Apostle Paul. Now get this. This word strong, in its specific meaning, it means remaining and continuing like dynamite. I love that. Remaining and continuing like dynamite in what? In the Word and the Spirit. Isn't that glorious? See, I thank God, and we've had that encouragement faithfully because of the Lord in this place ever since I can remember. And anybody can remember, because that's the way it was. And that's the way it is. God help us to always be as Paul encouraging Timothy. Stir up the gift that is within you. You don't want to grow cold. You need it. You need to continue in. You need to continue praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to continue praise the Lord to grow in the Holy Ghost. You need to continue to have that manifest of the love shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in your life. A good barometer in our lives, brothers and sisters, if we're growing cold, if we're growing critical, if we're growing judgmental, and oftentimes, I'm just going to tell you, the enemy will do this. He'll get you to be some island off by yourself, and you know something, and you're absolutely right, and yet here's, you know, folks that love the truth, and you're out there all by yourself, and yet you know. Tell you what, you better wake up. I thank God, and it's not just the evidence of the folks that love the truth. The evidence is the Word of God. And the Word of God always tells us, brothers and sisters, to assemble ourselves the much the more as we see that day approaching. I pray for that desire for my life. I pray. And I thank God He gives it to me. I want to be here. I thank the Lord I wanted to be here before I was your pastor. I thank God there was a love, grace that drew me to this truth. I wanted it. It was amazing to me. I thank God for every opportunity He gave me. I was thinking, you know, Lord, You've allowed me to experience so many things. You've been so good to me naturally. All the things You've allowed me to do. Sometimes I felt like a big stoop. Sometimes I felt like, wow, I know how to play this game. All these different things. I didn't know nothing. But Jesus. And all the way along, He would draw my heart. And I thank God how He protected my life. I can testify to you. It never had me. It never did. People would ask me, well, what did you love to do? I kind of loved singing. But I know when God spoke to my heart walking around that lake there in Germany, I never asked Him again. I spent my short life, all of it, to be there, to do that. And in one moment, I heard Him tell my heart, He said, this isn't for you. And I didn't even ask Him, well, what is? Because I know if I did, then it would have scared me. And I can't tell you why. He knows us. I don't know myself. You don't know yourself. And I've had some wonderful things I've got to be and participate in, and but I'm His. I'm His. And you're His. You know, this is ours. We all have different paths, but we sure have the same drawing of love, don't we? Amen. Well, let's remain and continue like dynamite in truth and love. What you think? I think it's worked real well. I'm so thankful, again, as I mentioned earlier, the sincerity that only God can give His meeting. He's given this meeting to us, but it is His meeting. And I thank the Lord in that. What's His is ours. It's our meeting. But I thank God that He's given us this. I was thankful to hear a brother last week. He's so cute. I know he's on there. I shouldn't say it that way, but he is. The Lord thinks he's cute. How's that? But he said, I'm glad I had my shoes off watching. He said, because it blew my socks off. And I said, well, you know, it's true. We're at the moment. We're at the moment. You know, and whether we're not, or we are, we're at the moment. My heart's at the moment. Your heart's at the moment. The Lord wouldn't be bringing this out if it wasn't the moment. And this calling away is coming. And I thank God He's just ramping up the encouragement and letting us consume every thought and allowing this abundance of hope. I was saying to my mother as she was rejoicing, I said, Mama, we're just like Job. We had heard, but now mine eyes see. You see it? They say, well, my goodness, I've heard this and heard this and heard this. I see that. Well, yes, that's exactly what it is. And then I'll tell you, once that starts to go on, you allow him to take you, you know it. My, oh my, what you see. Now, I love the Schofield Bible that we have. It's so wonderful, beautiful. But there's just a few little inconsistencies. But I think that's the Lord that gets us to go search those things out, you know. And where I'm going with this is in this same verse, I should say in the 11th verse, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, we thank God for that. Put on. But I'm going to tell you something. This is something that's done and finished. Yes, it is. And I'm going to tell you why. Go on over here to Ephesians 4:24. We read this, and be thankful for it. And it makes the note in Schofield, because this is the same word and it's the same meaning. And you see there where it says in verse 24 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, and that ye put on the new man. Let me ask you something. Have you put on the new man? Well, we know that. We know Scripture absolutely assures us that. If you have a footnote of a Schofield, you understand he puts that in there. Have put on. Same exact word. And I'm going to tell you something. We have put on the whole armor of God. That's the truth. Let me tell you something. You didn't have the whole armor of God, you'd be wiped out right now. That's the truth. Are you fully righteous? Yes, you are. Are you fully holy? You know it. But just because, I'll tell you what, you have all of these things, sometimes you don't act like it. But you have it. That's the whole thing. It's there. Praise God. I thank the Lord. And he's encouraging us in this. And don't be ashamed of it. Grace has done this. Paul is encouraging these mature brethren. Remember who he is speaking to. He's speaking to mature ones. And I thank the Lord. They have put it on. They've received all these things. Now he's saying, know it. Be strong and stand in it. This is to the elders of the word of his grace in Ephesus. And I thank the Lord for this, brothers and sisters. You don't go all the way through this and say, okay, now go ahead and put the whole armor on and go out there and stand. If you didn't have the whole armor on, you wouldn't even been receiving this message. That's the truth. This is what Paul's gospel does. Praise the Lord. It completely, completely puts this on you. You have it. You know it. It's done. And I thank God for it. Don't be afraid of the grace of God. Take it. Take what he's given. That's what he's been encouraging us to in this whole thing. And I thank the Lord for it. My goodness, he started us off with, ye have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen? Well, let me ask you something. Is the armor part of the spiritual blessings in Christ? Amen, it is. You have it. And I understand it says put it on, but you have put it on. He's given you this message. Now believe it. Believe it. Believe it. The enemy, all he wants you to do is to live in a doubt and fear. Doubt and fear. Doubt and fear. Doubt and fear. Stop it. And you're the only one to blame. You can't even blame the enemy. He's already defeated. And I thank God we can believe him for this. But we have the whole armor of God because ye have received and believe and ye dwell because of grace in Paul's gospel. You believe you got a crown? How could you have a crown if you didn't have the whole armor of God? Come on. And he's telling you to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Once again, how could you have the whole, how could you have the crown without the whole armor of God? He didn't just hand you the crown and say, well, you better get the armor. We'd all be left with a palm. I sure love you. And know this, that's what Paul's bridal message does. That's what this truth does. That's why he just tells us, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the word. Be strong in the whole counsel of God. Be strong in strong words. Be strong in strong meat. Be strong in sound words. Be strong in my gospel. be strong in what I say. That's all what Paul quoted to us. Us. This is our place. Praise the Lord. I thank God. We receive all this. We're right there and truly with, and I believe that in many ways, but we even got more in a sense. I'm not saying we got a better thing. I know this is the bridal calling here for the church of these Ephesian saints. I know that. But my goodness, brothers and sisters, here we are. We've got all of the Word of God here. We've got Revelation too. If there's any saints that are ever without excuse, here we are. We've got it. This is it. So I thank the Lord. But this is what accomplishes everything. This message, brothers and sisters, has placed us with this wonderful full armor of God. It's the whole armor. And notice this. It's God's armor, isn't it? Amen. I heard someone say that really, as a matter of fact, used to teach a lot of these things. Not here, but I'm sure it probably happened here too. Well, you better not turn around because there's no armor on the backside. Oh, my goodness. It's a disgrace. Amen, it is. And let me tell you, you might have that whole armor, but the reason you got the whole armor is because you're in the hand of Jesus, and that hand is in God's hand. Amen. And I thank the Lord. I think David showed us that when Saul tried to give him all that armor. He said, this ain't tried. I'm just going with the word of his grace. In the name above all names, in that name of my Lord God of hosts. And I'm running at you, you dirty Philistine. Amen. Grace has put it on you. You know that, right? And grace alone did it. Grace is selection. Grace is election. Hallelujah. Just be thankful. Your arms can lift right now in your heart, and that's fine. But he's clothed you with this armor, and he's clothed you in it to win, succeed, and persevere. I love the encouragement that we get in Romans 8, and I pray that we will read this and we'll enjoy this till he come, because I know we'll read it and enjoy it throughout eternity. But in Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, and that's you. That's me. He also did predestinate to be conformed the same to the same image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Isn't that beautiful? What did I read right there that hasn't been done yet? Nothing. Nothing. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. What does all things include? Amen. Everything. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. We thank the Lord together, don't we? The assurances of God are just, they're beyond. They're beyond comprehension. But that's the mercy of our God. And we understand that. Once again, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And the whole purpose of those that have the fullness, that have the fullness of this gospel, and that's us. The whole purpose of it. And the fullness of the love of Christ. And I believe it by the grace of God, that's us. Just remain and stay alive in it. Remain and stay alive in it. Thank the Lord. What's better than what we have? Nothing. If I try to bring in anything else, it's going to spoil the whole lump. And it will. The little foxes spoil the whole vine. And I thank God for it. And I pray, and I ask you to pray for me. Lord, just preach this with more boldness, more love, more joy, more power of the Holy Ghost. And I know this is his work, and I thank God, but let's just give over to it. But what he's telling us here is stay in first love, occupy the promise. Occupy it. Thank the Lord. You're apprehended by it. Just apprehend it. Apprehend it. Thank the Lord. I know Paul said that I may apprehend. I understand our race is not done yet. But I count him faithful that he will perform the good work which he's begun in me. So I can equate that, praise God, to the same that he says, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Well, as we look at time, Jesus hadn't died yet. But he will perform the good work which he's begun. This is God's word. What's ever going to stop it? It won't. And I thank the Lord. I praise God that we step into this by faith. That's the word that will always and always has been. Praise the Lord. Now, it says we stay in first love. We occupy the promise. We don't leave it. How do we do it? You stand. There's not a lot of activity in standing. It didn't even tell me to move. It didn't tell me to do anything. It just said stand. And it's everything, isn't it? Isn't that glorious? And you have it all. We thank the Lord. We can see that when we stand, we just stand in something we already have. There's a content to stand. The standing, praise the Lord. Yes, and it is in defense. We stand in defense of what we have. But it's just an occupying. It's an enjoying. Just like when he opened up Canaan for them, it was theirs. He gave it to them. He said, go on in there. Well, you had 12 spies go in there. All the other, the two, all they saw was God's promise. It didn't matter what else was in there. All they were talking about was God's promise. The faithfulness of God. Oh, all of the plenty that was there. All of the beauty, the bounty, the largeness of everything. Oh, my goodness. They bringing out one cluster of grapes. It took two men and a big old pole. I like that kind of stuff. That's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and you know it is. I mean, it's the bounty is so incredible. But even though that was there, and that's all they could see, is all you can see is the promises of God, or do you see the excuses of why you shouldn't have it, or why you can't have it, or why it's too hard to get? That was the other 10, because the very first thing and the only thing they could say, there's giants in the land. There's giants in there. There's enemies in there. This is God's promise he gave you. So he absolutely, we know he's God, so he's prepared everything, right? So he's got the promise, and the promise is perfect. And he opens it up to you, and that promise, praise God, was put before you and put you in there. All right? And so now, all of the things that have to do with your life, which we'll go with 50-50 tonight, 50% of it you really love, and 50%, oh my goodness, this is a disaster. I'm a disaster. Did he put that in there? Are those the giants in the land? You know they are. And those giants, sure, they're physical ones, they're all of these different things, but the greatest giant is my unbelief. I either believe God for the promise or I don't. And that's it. That's what it comes down to every time. And that's what the beauty of the simplicity of how the Word of God even starts out with everything. And some of those immense things, like I say, is meeting Noah and telling him, you know, go build this giant ship. And he didn't understand. He had no comprehension. The people around him didn't understand. But he took the grace and believed God. Isn't that really our lives? I mean, really, if we really get down to it, I mean, my goodness. But if we get our lives concentrating and thinking about why we can't understand it and thinking I have to understand it, I'll never take it. I'll walk around it all the time. I'll know it's there, but I won't go in. And I thank the Lord, I don't have time. I don't have time to think. You just go in there, you're thankful, and you stand. And you thank God and let him bring all the wonder of the beauty of this promise that he's given. So this is what, again, he brings us to. He says, come in there and stand. And when we stand, praise God, what happens is you're trusting God to know it's already yours. When you stand, praise God, you know that you have the whole armor of God. Right? See, because if I didn't think I had this, and I thought I had to do something, I thought I'd have to, you know, and that's how sometimes as Christians, oh, we're battling, we're fighting a good warfare, and I'm out here, and I'm being a good soldier. This is what you do. You stand. And you stand knowing, you stand confident in the Lord. And the beautiful thing is when you stand, brothers and sisters, and withstand, and I love this, if you read stand, withstand, stand, how many times? Four. What is the number four? Human weakness. Human weakness. You ever going to stand in the Lord? It's going to be in complete weakness. You're going to go into the Holy of Holies. It's going to be the four pillars, and you're going to go in human weakness. You'll never stand in your own strength. You can think you're standing. You can think that you're, you know, just all knowledge. You can think that you can speak with the tongue of men and angels. You can think you have the greatest faith. You can think that you know everything in this Word of God, but let me tell you something. If any of that is a shred of your strength, which all of those things, if that's the way I feel, it's very evident. I'm not standing. I'm standing in my strength, and I can't stand in that strength. I'm going to get nailed. And that's the truth. And how you get nailed is, like I said, it's something to really continue to pray about. And that's where I just tell you, brothers and sisters, it will be this love of Christ. You'll have a heart like the Apostle Paul. You'll melt for the people of God. You'll want to be with them. You'll pray for them. You won't be bitter. You'll be abused. Many will speak ill of you. Oh, sure they will. There'll be lots of things that go down like that. And the ones that are the closest to you hurt the most. It's just that way. But see, when we stand in the infirmities, when we stand in our weakness, what happens? The power of Christ rests upon you. Amen? That's the power of Christ. Isn't that what he showed us every time throughout the Word of God when, you know, the children of Israel are standing there on the edge of the bank of the Red Sea? They were in complete weakness. They had an impassable sea in front of them. They had the greatest army in the world behind them. And they didn't have anything. They didn't even have a weapon. And all they could do, because God did it, they had to stand. They had to be still. And that's why he just assured them, you be still. And he said that to Moses. You're going to know and watch the mighty hand of God. What do you think when he says that we are his workmanship? Isn't that the mighty hand of God? It's not, is there anything different than the Red Sea and what he was doing there? It's even more. With what he's doing with his hand in your life? Oh, honeys, what he's drawing out for him, what he's sanctifying and setting apart, what he is molding and making after the very purpose of his will. That's why sometimes you think in your life, I just stand. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. All right. Let's go ahead and hit 12 and 13. We'll close this up. Notice here. It says, well, at the end of 11, it says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay. Now, we know this trouble is from the devil. But be encouraged, brothers and sisters, the Lord orders it all. Amen, he does. He's the only power. There be no powers but of and from God. So we know that it is in the faithfulness of the Lord that he afflicts us. It's in the faithfulness of the Lord that he has drawn our lives completely. He really has. I believe that my life, by God's grace, is the will of God. Does that mean everything in my natural eyes has looked like Jesse's always been and done the will of God? Nope. But with what the promises of God are to my life, is my life the will of God? I say yes, it is. It has to be. Because it can't equate to winning him as my bridegroom without the will of God in its perfection on my life. And yours as well too. And anybody who is found in Hebrews chapter 11 of the Old Testament worthy of faith, and you can go all the way through them. I'm so thankful to God that it's God's faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness. Grace chose them. He knew they would have a tenderness to believe his grace and his mercy. He knew without a doubt, because he had drawn out their lives, he knew those choices they'd make. But this is God again. Nothing gets past him. He knows exactly our downsetting, our uprising, our thought afar off. Amen? He knows all about that. Hair on your head. Every single thing. And yet, isn't that beautiful? He still deals with you. And I'm confident there's a lot of people on this earth that are just better people than me. Sure, I don't try to be the best person. I don't. I don't try to be a bad person. But I'm this person. You know? And this is what he's got to work with. And I'm trusting him for it. I'm trusting him with your life too. Don't you think you're any better. And don't you think you're any worse. Don't. Because then we all throw in the idols out here. Oh, I'm the worse idol, but I'm the better idol. Anything that distracts me from looking to him, whether I think I'm over here or over there, it's out the door. I know what he's given us, saints. Do you know what he's given you? He's given you everything. He's given you the enlightened eyes of understanding to see the very purpose of his. Amen? His good pleasure. And he's shown you that it's you. That's the glory of it. He has shown you, and you get it. It's right there in the Word of God because the Holy Ghost has made it known to your life. That's you. That's not anybody else I'm talking about. That's you. And that's what gets your heart to flutter. And you say, yes, I do know that. I do know that. And thank God, here we are. And the devil, all he wants to do is trouble that. It's all he wants to do is trouble it. But remember, just like Job, have you noticed my servant Job? Have you seen him? The devil can't even see you unless God points you out. He has to lift the hedge for him to get to you. And anything he does will be instructed and ordered completely. The devil is so stupid he doesn't think he has to obey, but he does. He cannot do anything but what God has him to do. God made him. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Know your Bible. And then you don't say, well, why would God make? My goodness, please never say that. Say, thank the Lord you made the devil. Thank God for that. We wouldn't have what we had if he didn't have him. He had to have the tempter. It's all, God can't tempt, but he had to have the tempter, because without the tempter and temptation, we'd have no need of faith. That is the truth. That is the truth. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We can rank them all we want. It doesn't even matter. You can think about them all you want. It really doesn't matter, because he that's born of God does not commit sin, neither can he sin. You see how foolish we can get so fast? Oh, but this is the one that he did this to those people, and this is the one he did that to the... Please stop. Oh, Jesus. That's why it's counted all joy. James says this, and Peter, I think of the two guys that the Lord had this to say this. Count it all joy when you're in diverse temptation. Count it all joy when you're in manifold temptation. Interesting that in the English we see two different words there? Same word in the Greek. They're saying the same thing. Count it all joy. Happy is the man. Amen. This is what it is. Thank the Lord. Because the battle is rich and full. Amen. Do you think Paul was happy and thankful when he finally received, "I glory in my infirmities"? Or is Paul just better than James and Peter and he was saying something completely different because it really wasn't temptations? It had to be his eyesight. It had to be his pock skin, whatever it is. Oh, golly. Lord, help my speech up here right now. Yep. We got to get over that. See, that's the self-righteous part again, to say, well, see, I'd be a better Christian if... No. God made you like you are for this. And this is where the good fight of faith comes on. Faith is growing because the battle is rich and full. The Lord is producing in us by this temptation the only thing that pleases God. The only thing that pleases him is faith. This is how it happens. This is how this comes about. So know this. So when we are battling, praise God, knowing this, we can actually take that and say we can count it all joy in this, and that's how you war victoriously. When you're assured and you know the purpose of it, the necessity of it, the calling of it, the choosing of it, that this is absolutely the very perfect will of God. Go back and think about the lives of the saints, and one to really take on is David. David's life is the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. It's not twisting things around, it's a fact. The word of God is the will of God. David's life written in there is the word of God. It's the very will of God. Bathsheba was going to be in the line of Christ. And it was going to be that way through adultery. It was going to be that way. It wasn't going to be another way. Uriah wasn't going to die at anybody else's hand but David's. That's the truth. It was coming that way and the only way. Just like we were on Sunday. It was so beautiful to really see that. That promise wasn't going to go to Jacob any other way except he'd go to Isaac, his daddy, and deceive. Well, he could have got it a better way. No, he couldn't, you dumb head. That's the word of God. That's the will of God. And you can sit there and be self-righteous, holding your palm, and you can think you want to argue and whatever. What did grace say? Let the curse be on me. Amen. Let the curse be on me. That's why Paul said, as he was speaking there, if I bring any other gospel out here, let me be accursed. My life going forward, praise God, I got to trust God. Grace takes care of it. It doesn't mean, again, that I come through here cavalier and doing anything and everything I want. That heart's not right with God. But I do understand, praise the Lord, with what the two natures are, the temptations that he puts in the nature that I have, the infirmities that I got in my flesh, that I always pray, Lord, I'd love you to take them out, but I don't pray that anymore. I glory in them. And I say, Lord, you got to help me. And he does. I mean, you really got to come in right now, Lord. I'm about ready to come apart in this thing. You know it. But then, here come the scriptures. Here comes the encouragement. Here comes, praise God, that stirring up of the Holy Ghost. I'm listening. Yeah, that's who I am. That's who I am in him. This is why this is going on. And he will deliver us what? Out of how much trouble? All your trouble. And here you go. Here's your flesh, brothers and sisters. Oh, I love these studies. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First, go over to 1 John. Appreciate you, Jesus. Just a couple more minutes here. This is so beautiful. Let's wrap this up here. 1 John chapter 2. Here you are. Here's our flesh. Verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Amen. It's so wonderful. And I thank the Lord. That's what I'm just saying. Thank God that nothing has you. You might get bopped a little bit here and there, and everything, but it don't have you. That sin ain't raining upon your life. Quit being so hard on you. That is disrespectful to what the Lord's made you. Love him, love him, love him. Be victorious. For all that is in the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not the Father. That is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you abide forever? It answered it for you, didn't it? It just stops any of the trying, any of that. Again, it's what he's done. It's what he's finished. You already have it. Praise the Lord. Now walk in it. Walk on in it. Then you begin, praise God, to be a thankful vessel. And like I say, it's amazing what you don't think of. Jesus himself showed us these three weaknesses here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He did. When he went there, and we won't turn there, but that's Luke chapter 4. You'll see it also in Matthew. That's when he was taken out in the wilderness. Okay? He was led out in the wilderness. Amen. And there the enemy was allowed to tempt him. And praise be to God, we know the result of it. But the very first one was turning the stones into bread. Well, you see, that's the lust of the flesh. That's that belly. We saw that with Esau. Amen. That kind of a thought. But we thank the Lord. It's the word of God that always prevails. The kingdoms of the world were the next thing that he showed him. He said, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. That's what the enemy said. Well, that's the lust of the eyes. Then he said, and I'll give you the glory. Well, there's the pride of life. So see, the Lord showed us. He went right out there. It was hit. And let me tell you, isn't greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Amen. Praise the Lord. How do I resist the devil? I thank the Lord that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I thank the Lord I'm born of God. I thank the Lord that, praise God, his blood took care of all my iniquity. Thank the Lord. I know that. Now I'm beginning to stand, hallelujah, in real strength. And finally, and this is a huge one, and I love this, where it says, well, the enemy said, cast yourself down and, you know, from this mountain, and, you know, your angels will raise you back up. We don't tempt the Lord our God. We don't. And you don't tempt him with my great faith. Don't do that. See, that's the stinking self-righteousness. And that's the truth of it, brothers and sisters. But even more so, and this is where I wanted to head tonight to close this up. A more present danger from the enemy, as it says here, is the spiritual wickedness in high places. And you're going to like this. And we're talking about where Satan actually dwells. Well, we're told in the Word of God where Satan actually dwells. And it's over there in Revelation chapter 2. Here's where Satan dwells. It's kind of interesting to really think of this too. This is the church of Pergamos. And the church of Pergamos and the church of Sardis saints will make up the innumerable multitude. The ones that don't come out of that, that stay in this state, will make up the innumerable multitude. All right? Let's read about this. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdst fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them. Notice that. He's not telling it's them, but thou hast there them. They've assembled themselves with them. They've gathered with them. That's their fellowship. This is a church. Notice what it said about the church. They hadn't denied my name. There were works there. There was a faithful martyr there. But yet there's something going on there that's not perfect. and it's real blunt, it's where Satan's seat is. Isn't that something? Okay, now let's follow this out. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed unto idols, to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. So, see, Paul is telling these ones, that's not who you are. But your fellowship is with them. Your fellowship isn't with Philadelphia. And you're not of them. You're not them. But that's what you're taking. And both, to make this pretty concise, whether it was Balaam or the Nicolaitans, what they did back in the Old Testament is they got the people of God to compromise, to take other wives, to basically think that they could also just kind of live their lives their way. They'll bring in how they're going to worship. They're going to bring in how this is going to be. Brothers and sisters, that's where Satan's seat is. It's compromise. It's compromise. And who is he writing this Ephesians to? These ones that are fully purposed. These are the ones that are there to win God's best. How we get defeated is we compromise Paul's gospel. We compromise this truth. You begin to get offended by somebody, or something doesn't feel right here, or whatever it is. Why do you come here? That's it, honey. It's the bridal message. And I love how Paul says that about, as I should say, John, or the Lord's telling him, you're with them there. You're not that. See, do you understand the Lord and how faithful he is and how good he is? He's even saying to the innumerable multitude, you're not that. That's not what you were for. You are for my best. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. We want to think, oh, well, this is what Satan's seat is. Satan's what, you know, seat is what's being taught in our schools and all of this. And I do agree. But this specifically where it's talking about resist the devil, what's this about? Is this resist the devil because, you know, you need to have a star on your how you lived your life? Or is this resist the devil to stay in all truth? God will take care of all the other stuff, and he will. He'll take care of it. You'll watch your life change from glory to glory into his image. You'll watch it. But it'll be because of one thing, the whole counsel of God. Isn't that wonderful? The assurances of God are just marvelous. Stand. Don't waver. Protect those ears. Don't be led around by every wind of doctrine. I'm telling you, don't go in the garbage can to find a scrap of food when you can eat ribeye. You can eat lobster. You're eating the strong meat. Why would we eat? Why would we eat anything else? And it's the Spirit that does it. It isn't any flesh and blood. It's not mine or anybody else's. It's the Spirit that gives us utterance, and the Spirit that giveth an ear to hear. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.